A strange fever has gripped our culture. Invisible tripwires lie scattered across everyday conversations, waiting for the unsuspecting to stumble. Some walk into these cultural minefields blindly, others march in deliberately, seemingly eager for the explosion. After each detonation, the world erupts briefly in dispute, then moves on, accepting another casualty of our improvisationary value system. What's happening isn't just political disagreement, it's something deeper, a collective derangement where the pursuit of justice has twisted into something unrecognizable, where yesterday's moral victories become today's new orthodoxies, and where questioning anything risks total social annihilation. Gay rights victory brought unexpected contradictions. The movement expanded from GLB to LGBTQ+, each edition creating new tensions. In triumph, it began policing boundaries and punishing dissent. Gay marriage shifted overnight from widely opposed to foundational liberal value, disagreement now marking you as beyond acceptable society. The contradictions run deeper. We celebrate someone coming out as gay, yet if they later identify as straight, they face suspicion and ostracism. We've reversed from favoring straightness to mildly favoring gayness without acknowledging the shift. Screenwriter Russell T. Davies observed that gay men who went straight received more resentment from friends than straight men who came out. Meanwhile, Born This Way has gained cultural acceptance despite inconclusive scientific evidence. The search for a gay gene remains politically charged. Religious conservatives prefer it not be found. Many gay people hope for biological validation. A profound divide exists within gay identity itself. One camp believes gays should demonstrate they're just like everybody else, pursuing monogamy, marriage, children. The opposing queer perspective rejects assimilation, viewing same-sex attraction as the first step in radically challenging societal norms. This tension persists in pride marches, where calls for equality mingle with exhibitionism that many gays find counterproductive. Modern identity politics mirrors Marxism structure, replacing economic class with identity hierarchies, placing white, heterosexual males atop an oppression pyramid. This framework emerged from academia, where significant percentages of social science professors identify as Marxist, activist, or radical. The intellectual foundation draws from Michel Foucault's power-focused analysis and Antonio Gramsci's hegemonic force concept. Through specialized departments, queer studies, women's studies, black studies, these theories dismantled fixed certainties, including biological ones. Judith Butler argued gender was merely a social construct rather than biological reality. Peggy McIntosh's 1988 list of 50 daily effects of white privilege introduced interlocking oppressions, uniting various grievance studies under one framework, demanding consciousness raising and power redistribution. Post-Marxist thinkers modified traditional theory when capitalism didn't collapse as predicted, arguing new political subjects, women, racial and sexual minorities, could advance socialist struggle. Unlike scientists requiring clarity, social justice theorists employed deliberately obstructive writing. Butler's impenetrable prose serves as camouflage. Prose this bad only occurs when hiding something. Intersectionality practitioners inhabit an ideological space where clarity would expose fundamental incoherence. Women occupy a paradoxical position, simultaneously equal to men, yet somehow superior. After the 2008 financial crisis, Christine Lagarde claimed, "If it had been Lehman Sisters rather than Lehman Brothers, the world might well look a lot different today," suggesting women's superior judgment would have prevented disaster. This contradictory thinking, that women match men in capability but exceed them in judgment, has become deeply embedded. Hollywood reveals our confusion. Eva Mendes and Paul Rudd's 2011 mutual groping at an award show was framed as comedy. Drew Barrymore's 1995 flashing of David Letterman was fondly remembered even in 2018. Only after 2017's Me Too movement did attitudes shift, exposing inconsistent views on sexual boundaries. actress Mayim Bialik exemplifies these mixed messages. After flashing Piers Morgan on television to applause, she later claimed her modesty protected her from harassment. When Jordan Peterson questioned workplace makeup norms as sexually provocative, he faced intense backlash, despite highlighting uncomfortable truths about sexual signaling. Modern feminist rhetoric has turned hostile. Slogans like "men are trash" proliferate alongside terms like "toxic masculinity." The American Psychological Association claimed traditional masculine traits like stoicism are harmful, ignoring their benefits. The fundamental confusion stems from a remarkable contradiction. While gay activists successfully argued homosexuality was innate, feminist theory claimed biological sex was merely reiterated social performances. This attempt to redefine sex as non-biological has undermined feminism while causing immense pain. Technology propels us in wrong directions at exponential speeds. Social media creates daily stampedes of moral panic and public shaming, digital witch hunts that reward bullies and serve business models. Participants rarely question why they're running or where they're headed. We've dramatically underestimated the internet's long-term impact. Social media has erased the distinction between public and private language. Any statement might be broadcast globally and preserved eternally, forcing us to speak as though always before a universal audience. Silicon Valley's political atmosphere leans dramatically leftward, with social justice activism as the default setting. Yet their workforces fail to reflect stated values. Google's staff is only 4% Hispanic and 2% African American. This ideology distorts reality. Google's search algorithms demonstrate clear bias, with European art prioritizing Black subjects far beyond historical prevalence, while white men returns crime photos and anti-white messaging, revealing deliberate human intervention with politically motivated results. Most profoundly, technology wounds but cannot heal. Quinn Norton was hired by the New York Times and fired 7 hours later when old tweets surfaced. The internet never forgets, creating a world where non-crimes have permanent consequences. Without forgiveness, we remain victims forever, like the sorcerer's apprentice who lacked the magic formula to break the spell. Martin Luther King Jr.'s vision of judging people by character rather than skin color offered the most eloquent defense of human dignity. Yet today, an insidious current insists skin color is everything. While white supremacism faces universal condemnation, the greatest backsliding on King's dream comes from those claiming to be anti-racists. Entertainment has become a battleground. Netflix faced criticism for casting a Swedish actor in Altered Carbon as a character who had previously inhabited an Asian body. Black opera singers once performed Strauss, Verdi, and Wagner without objection. But today, racial characteristics have become paramount, superseding talent. In 2018, an actress withdrew from West Side Story after social media outrage over a white woman playing a Puerto Rican character. The logical solution to racial division would be blurring boundaries by sharing cultural elements. But cultural appropriation crushed this approach. Portland businesses faced mob protests and death threats for selling burritos or using certain names. We're running contradictory programs simultaneously, one celebrating access to every culture, another policing cultural boundaries with ever-shifting rules determined by whoever shouts loudest. The social justice movement portrays our societies as fundamentally racist, sexist, and homophobic. Yet these intersecting grievances grind hideously against each other, increasing friction rather than reducing it. Identity categories don't harmoniously intersect. They actively contradict each other. When a gay magazine claimed gay is the new black, Black Americans objected. When a philosopher questioned why transgender identity is accepted while transracial identity is rejected, she faced fierce backlash. Contradictory demands proliferate. Women must be sexy without being sexualized. We must fight racism by becoming racist. Many victim groups aren't actually oppressed. Studies show gay men and lesbian women consistently earn more than heterosexual counterparts. Asian men in America out-earn all other racial groups. The gender pay gap reflects career choices, not discrimination. When critics condemn our societies as bigoted, we must ask, compared to what? Identity politics politicizes every human interaction, interpreting all relationships through power dynamics. True meaning comes from love of people and places, friends, family, culture, and wonder, not from wasting life on identity politics. We stand at a crossroads. Continue down this path of endless grievance and tribal warfare, or step back, extend generosity even to those we disagree with, and remember that our common humanity transcends constructed categories.